Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Everybody, welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And what is up, Xander?
Oh man, I'm so excited. Football is back. I mean, I think I sat in my couch from 11:55 until 10 at night this past Sunday. Didn't move a muscle except to get up and eat, and it was awesome. I enjoyed every minute of it. So glad that it's all back, and we had a pretty crazy first week. I think it was exciting, and now we just started the second week Thursday night. Bills cough it up again. They fired their offensive coordinator 2 games into the season. I thought that was pretty interesting by Rex Ryan. After only playing 2 games, he is the highest paid offensive coordinator in the league. Let him go after 2 games. I thought that was kind of a scapegoat move by Rex Ryan. Do you have any thoughts on it, Bub?
Of course, it was a scapegoat move. What the hell? He's in jeopardy of getting his ass knocked out of town too.
I think end of the year, they probably will clean house. I mean, I don't see that team. That team is not very good, and he's not doing them any favors. I mean, I think Rob Ryan brought his magic from New Orleans, the worst defense of all time, but to Buffalo now.
They were
bad.
I could not agree with you more. I think that brought crap, and he is not anything special in my opinion. I think that when you look at it, Rob Ryan has never been any good. I mean, he was good when they had a monster team and everybody thought he was good, but he really wasn't that good. You know, he don't have, in my opinion, he doesn't have the stuff that takes. I mean, he's never really made it anywhere, and he's had chances, to be good. So, I'm in agreement with that.
Right, and Rex Ryan now came to Buffalo, was supposed to rebuild, and now the team looks like they're in disarray. I mean, it looks like they had no idea what they were doing. I mean, I know it was a close game, but they did have two, I think, 75-yard touchdowns. I mean, that's pretty fluky. I mean, say what you want, but it doesn't really happen that often. And the fact that they got torn up by Ryan Fitzpatrick, of all people.
Hold Sparky.
What?
Ryan Fitzpatrick is a stat machine. He sucks. He cannot win the big game, but he is a stat machine. I mean, he is one of the better stat quarterbacks that never won shit in his life. I mean, so I'm not, I don't take it away from them. I mean, he put up big numbers last year. I mean, everybody just knows he's basically a loser, but he's a hell of a stat machine, though. He's certainly not a bad guy to have in your fantasy team if you're, if you're in a league like mine.
No, tomato, tomato. The Bills are bad. Rex Ryan has ultimately failed, I think, so far in Buffalo. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, I think you got a cannon. I mean, I think they've made very little progress, and it looks bad. The offense and the defense. I mean, it's brutal. It was hard to watch. But speaking of hard to watch, that Rams 49ers game, I think, was the worst football game I have ever seen in my entire life, and I'm embarrassed that I picked the Rams on the show and was very confident in them. But I mean, Case Keenum looked like he had never taken a snap at any level of football before. I mean, the guy averaged 3.7 yards per attempt. It was basically a glorified running play every time. I mean, were the Rams, was that not one of the worst games you've ever seen?
Well, fortunately, it was almost past my bedtime, but I watched a little bit of it, but it did help me go to sleep pretty quick. So Listen, Case Keenum is garbage as well. I mean, I'm sure he's a very nice guy, and he was a great college quarterback. But again, great in college doesn't translate to great in the pros. And when you have a lousy coach, I don't mean he's a bad guy. I mean, he's just not an offensive coach. I mean, he was lucky. You know, if you remember, you won't remember, it's before your time, but he lost the Super Bowl, okay, on the 1-inch line.
I remember that.
Okay.
Titans-Rams.
Yep. So he's just not very good as a coach. I mean, you know, look at, we could call him the Rex Ryan of the NFC, because that's what he is. He can't ever get an offense going. I mean, they've tried, but they can never get the offense on a roll. I mean, listen, Jeff Fisher's a great bear and the whole thing, but at the end of the day, he cannot get that offense going. I mean, he's got weapons, and it looked like they were going to try to do something when they first came out. But listen, remember last year, what was the receiver's name? Cooks? Is that not Cooks, but...
Tavon Austin?
No, there's another one.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Quick, Brian Quick.
Brian Quick.
Yeah, he never would throw to him. I mean, so how could the guy get better? You know, listen, I'd hate to be a receiver going on that team, because you'd never get a free agent deal.
Right, and the thing I don't get about it, it seems like the same thing every year with Jeff Fisher. I mean, the guy is constantly sticking his feet in the mud and chooses basically not to do anything about it. I mean, I heard the other day that, you know, they're playing it that if it goes his way, that, you know, Jared Goff might not play a single snap this year. And, you know, I've heard both sides of the coin, you know, whether or not you want to sit a guy for a year, you know, and like look at Aaron Rodgers, that worked out very well. But he was playing behind Brett Favre, you know, and there's been guys who've been thrown into the fire right away. Take a look at Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. I mean, those guys have been very successful. But, I mean, are you telling me that the thought isn't even going to cross your mind after you saw Case Keenum, you know, throw for 130 yards and two interceptions, that you might want to throw in your number one pick because he might be the only shot that you have? I mean, that was just the most Jeff Fisher comment of all time, you know, would be that, you know, wouldn't even take a look at him and possibly was going to sit him the whole season. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, they were so pathetic on offense against the 49ers defense that, you know, they looked like the 85 Bears. I don't really think they're that good, and we'll see how the 49ers play this week. But, I mean, the 49ers were pretty bad last year, too. I don't think they got drastically better. So, I mean, it was embarrassing for the Rams, and it couldn't get much worse than that. You know, obviously, you're never as bad as you look.
No, they're as bad on offense. They're as bad as they look. There is no question. Listen, we've talked about this at nauseam about how bad they are offensively. This is not new, and why they won't throw Jared Goff out there. Throw him out there. Let him hand off to Gurley all day long. I mean, you know, nobody can be worse than the guy they got in there, and that's always the problem with Jeff Fisher's teams. He's too damn stubborn. And the funny thing is they come up with some pretty big wins with that crappy team. I mean, they knock Seattle crazy because for some reason he's got their formula. But don't you think?
Right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, but you know, I also heard too that he did not want to take Jared Goff with the number one pick. That was more of an upper management thing. And I mean, that's just part of the business of sports. I mean, you know, you give and you take sometimes. But you know, I feel like the team spent, moved up to pick this guy number one as a starting quarterback, and you know, I don't think he's Andrew Luck or anybody like that, but I mean, I would throw him in there because, I mean, after what I saw, you know, I hate to write off a guy after one game, but I've seen Case Keenum play plenty of football, and it's been very underwhelming. You know, the guy couldn't even hit an 8-yard out. I mean, it was ridiculous, and it was hard to watch as a football fan. I don't really care about the Rams or the 49ers, but, I mean, it was hard to watch.
It is. Listen, when you have a career backup, again, this goes back to the same old story. Career backups are career backups for a reason. There is no bargain when you get those guys, because that's what they are. You have to have guys that have to be able to back up. And sometimes you get lucky and you get something who's a little bit better than the rest. But overall, every time, you know, the backup quarterback is always the favorite guy of every franchise, because, you know, the starter's going bad, they call for the backup. But at the end of the day, the backup is the backup for that particular reason, because he's not very good, and he's not going to be able to take a team on his shoulders. That's why Ryan Fitzpatrick could not get a contract this year, because everybody knows he's really a backup, but he does put up a lot of stats, but he loses the games. But this is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and we're going to step out here for a break, but make sure you go to libertytalk.fm, not only upload the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. We're going to step out here for a minute. We'll be right back. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba will be right back.
If I don't finish this last bite, you don't get my soul, do you?
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, you know, obviously, we kept some of this dark news for the second segment here, but You know, I told you that Derrick Rose is a piece of crap, and he's turning out to be everything that I thought he was. What do you think about him being accused of rape and then saying that he doesn't understand the word consent? Tell me what you think about that.
I mean, there's almost no words to say. I mean, it's pretty shocking. It's pretty alarming. You know, that a guy would come out and say that. I mean, that just it's a bad look. And I mean, you know, it just makes what he did. It's bad. I mean, I just have a hard time describing, you know, how it makes me feel, and just in general, how it should make anybody feel. I mean, it's scary. And, you know, you did call it. You called, you know, Derrick Rose a piece of crap. And, you know, I never really put much thought to it, never really believed you. But, I mean, now with this report coming out, it's pretty damning, and I think very damaging to him. Now, who cares about on the court, but as a person?
As a person, and how can you, you know, look, this is one of the biggest problems in this country, is the sexual abuse that goes on where these guys take charge. And again, they're not always wrong, but they're always wrong because you got to walk away. You have to be a bigger person than that. But we go from there's, and then the kid from USC got suspended for the same thing, got kicked off the team, whatever, for the same thing, he's going to jail. You know, this is getting ridiculous, and they've got to crack down on all this. But one thing they don't got to crack down on, and one thing that really pisses me off, is Roger Goodell. Okay, now, we know last week they had, it was the 9/11 memorial, 15 years since the worst tragedy in the United States. And here, a couple of guys come out with some fancy shoes that are dedicated to who? To the firefighters, the people that lost their lives. And here he is worrying about finding him when Colin Kaepernick and the other guys that are not standing for the national anthem. Now, listen, again, I'm not against them because they didn't stand, but I think it's the wrong venue. But you're going to let these guys do this, but you're going to fine these guys for trying to pay honor to these guys that lost their lives. You tell me what you think.
I mean, it's another round of the No Fun League, and Roger Goodell's, you know, the bus driver. I mean, it's amazing how many things he gets wrong. I mean, there's very few decisions, you know, that come out and are very public. I mean, remember the Ray Rice thing. You know, there's fines every once in a while, but I mean, Roger Goodell always seems to get it wrong. And this is just, I understand the policy. I understand the rule. I understand that they have, you know, they pay people, they pay sponsors, and, you know, there's certain codes that they have to abide by. But I mean, this is in such bad taste, you know, fining people for, you know, expressing their, you know, concern. You know, it's terrible. And it's Roger Goodell is just, he does it all the time. You know, he's always the public opinion, always goes back, says just a bunch of crap all the time, and I'm tired of it. I mean, I thought that was the most ridiculous thing, like you said, on such a tragedy. You know, guys are trying to show support and represent, you know, the country more than just playing a game of football, and they're going to get fined for it. I mean, honestly, I don't think they care about the fine. They probably knew it was coming, but, I mean, it's just another ridiculous thing. It's like, you know, the college football, some of the rules there, the rules are just stupid. I don't know who made them. But this is another example of something that makes you shake your head.
Yeah, no, of course they knew it was coming and they didn't care. Listen, they make a lot of money, but that's not the point. The point is, you know, Roger Goodell, have a little class. Wake up once. I mean, he must have something on the owners because I don't know how he's still the commissioner, but I don't understand. He must have naked pictures of all these guys. But so, and then the other thing that it was interesting of the week was the beanball incident in I think it was in Atlanta. But it was Miami against Atlanta, and of course, Fernandez, who's he's a gutty kid, Jose Fernandez, and he went, you know, he defended his teammate, and he went after a guy, and he plunked him in the ass, and which is, you know, listen, if you're gonna hit somebody, you hit him in the ass, and then he comes up to the plate, and you know, they always say that guys that play in, you know, they play in the in the league, and they have to hit in the National League. It takes a lot of guts to do what he did, and sure enough. The Ramirez kid from Atlanta threw one at his head. I think that's pretty, there's no place for that in this sport. What do you think?
No, I mean, and it's hard. I mean, you knew that, you know, he was throwing at him. I mean, I guess, you know, I hate to think that he was throwing at his head. It could have, you know, been aiming for the back and slipped a little bit. I don't know, but I mean, I agree. Jose Fernandez, I thought, was a little over the top plunking Markakis. You know, but you know, he hit him in the ass. I mean, that's, you're going to hit somebody, you know, below the shoulder. And, you know, like you said, sometimes when you're a pitcher in the National League, you got to face the music by yourself because you're grabbing a bat every three innings and going up there to hit. And it was scary. I mean, you know, we've seen it a couple times this year. I mean, Matt Shoemaker a couple weeks ago gets hit 105-mile-an-hour line drive. I mean, that more or less, you know, the ball, that ball has come in at 98 miles an hour at Fernandez's head. I mean, it's kind of scary, and I do agree with you. There's really no place in the game for stuff like that. You know, one of my favorite things about the game, though, is, you know, the fact that teams go back and forth like this. But, you know, keep it as a message, not as, you know, a head-hunting, you know, trying to hurt a guy. And Brandon said, you know, I'll go take one for my team. It doesn't matter to me, but, you know, don't throw it at my head. I mean, don't, you know, try to ruin my life
right.
over something. I mean, this is something that happens in the game, which I think is cool. You know, baseball is one of the only games, I think, there's like a game within the game. You know, you've got all these, you know, the unwritten rules, the beanballs back and forth. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, a respect thing. It's a judgment thing. But, you know, don't throw at guys' heads. I mean, that's the only way you can really hurt somebody. I mean, these balls are coming in 100 miles an hour. It caused a lot of damage, and it just, there's no place in the game for it.
Absolutely. And, of course, college football, we're now seeing, you know, some of the teams. And any thoughts on the early returns of college football? Northwestern 0-2. I can't believe the two games they lost. I was at Illinois State, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I could hear the Redbirds cheering from my house in Bloomington. yeah, that was an ugly game for Northwestern. You know, I watched most of it. It was a good defensive effort by both teams, but I mean, losing to Illinois State, I mean, come on, Northwestern, come on. This is a team last year, you know, that cracked the top 25, thought they were going to do big things. They were 3-0, and, you know, here they sit 0-2, just lost to an FCS team. But
that's like Deerfield losing the Maine East.
Right, you know, and it's a little embarrassing, but, you know, give credit to Illinois State. I mean, they did a great job. How about the Houston Cougars? I mean, moving up to number 6. You know, they won this past week at Cincinnati. They're one of the teams, I think, you know, we keep calling them a dark horse, but they keep winning. And they might crack the top 5 after this weekend.
Well, they probably will, because there might be an upset here. You got a couple of big games. But listen, I bet against them the other night. Went to sleep, thought I was a winner, woke up to a loser. I went to bet it was 16-12 or whatever it was. And the final score was 40-16. And I went to sleep in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they've been super impressive, and I think, you know, we thought we were going to have a pretty weak slate last week, which we did, but, I mean, there were some close games. I mean, you look at Clemson almost dropping a game to Troy. I mean, I didn't even know Troy College existed until they showed up on the website. And, you know, Clemson, they scare me a little bit right now. I mean, I don't think I could put them at the top of the ACC right now with the way they've been playing. I'd have to edge to Florida State.
Right. I mean, you know, I don't know about Louisville. You know, Louisville will show their true colors. I think they'll show their true colors today.
Well, they're playing Florida State
that's
today.
Right. So that's what I said.
We'll see where the money is.
I think the money is on Florida State. And my money's on Florida State. I think that Louisville's a nice team, but they're not in the same category, in my opinion. And I think Louisville gets their ass kicked here. You know, some interesting games this week, though. What do you think about Oklahoma, Ohio State?
This is really interesting because, you know, Oklahoma lost week one to Houston. People were kind of down on them, but I think we're seeing that Houston is for real. They're a very good team. And Oklahoma, you know, I think they're also a very good team. And I think this is a huge advantage, them being at home right now against Ohio State, because, you know, early in the season, we really don't know. You know, people haven't really been battle tested yet. We don't have a lot to compare. Ohio State, you know, they're a 1-point favorite. I mean, so this game is basically a picket. And, you know, Oklahoma at home, I think I'd lean towards Ohio State here. I do think Oklahoma is a better team than people think, but I also think that Ohio State is for real. They're the number 3 ranked team in the country for a reason. I have a lot of faith in Urban Meyer. And even with the loss of Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, JT Barrett, I think, is in the running for the Heisman. It is one of the best college quarterbacks in the league right now.
Well, I will put it this way. I think Oklahoma never fails to disappoint. I think this is just a continuation. Stoops is okay, but he ain't no Urban Meyer, and I think Urban Meyer puts a little beating on them. Again, I'm a big fan there, and I think the one of the big interesting games of the week also is Michigan State, Notre Dame. You got a quick selection there? Notre Dame laying a touchdown?
I like Michigan State. You know, Notre Dame, you know, similar to Oklahoma, you know, losing that first game to Texas was tough, but I think we're going to see that Texas is, you know,
Texas is a real deal, I think, and the Sporting Edge is also the real deal with Xander and Bubba. This is the Sporting Edge. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast of the Sporting Edge as well as the Bubba Show. We're going to step out here. We'll be right back. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're on our way back.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, as you said, unfortunately I was on a plane, but the NFL is back, and some pretty interesting games last week. What'd you think?
You know, it was real interesting. And before we talk about, you know, any specific games, I wanted to give a huge praise to Carson Wentz. It looked pretty damn good out there for a guy who had never taken a, you know, a Division I snap in his first start. I know it was against the Browns, but I thought he looked pretty good, and the Eagles won this game 29-10. RG3, you know what? I don't understand what he's doing out there. I mean, he tries to run over a guy who's standing at the sideline instead of, you know, running out. It doesn't make any sense. And now he's going to be on injured reserve, I think, for maybe the rest of the year. But, you know, did you see Carson Wentz play at all?
I did, and by the way, just a comment on your RG3. That's what I said he was. And he's in my opinion, his career is over, and that shows you the translation from college to pros. He got away with it for 1 year until the end of the year, and he got dinged up, and he's been dinged up ever since. And unfortunately, the pro game is just that much better, and the guys are that much faster, and you can't get away with all this crap when you're in professional football. But good, sorry.
Yeah, and you know, another thing I was looking at, Drew Brees. I mean, Father Time doesn't exist with this man. You know, hooked up with Willie Snead and Brandon Cooks, I think, for a combined, I think they had about 320 of his 420 passing yards. Drew Brees looked unbelievable. But how about the Raiders? I mean, the fourth quarter comeback, I thought this game was securely in the hands of the Saints. And, you know, they come up and blow this game, 35-34. But, you know, it was nice for me. I had Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks on my fantasy team, so I wasn't so sure about him at the start of the year, but you know, they proved me right. Drew Brees looked very good. And another game with a big comeback was Chiefs-Chargers. I mean, this was one of, I think, the biggest comeback in Chiefs history. You know, Alex Smith, 363 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, kind of plodded along the whole game, and they started picking it up. He's a guy that you might want to look at, you know, in a two-quarterback league. I think, you know, there's going to be 24 quarterbacks you take out of the 30. He's a guy, you know, call him whatever you want, game manager or whatever. He's looked pretty damn good the past year and a half, and I think he continues this year, especially.
He's looked good for his whole career. I mean, look at, he brought San Francisco to the championship game three times or twice. I mean, you know, he is a game manager. I mean, in my opinion, he's not what you think he is. I mean, you know, I look at the two defenses you just mentioned. I mean, you know, New Orleans sucks in defense. I mean, right, they can score with anybody, but and certainly San Diego isn't very good either. So, but look at it. You still got to make the plays, and he certainly made the plays, but I mean, he'll. I bet you he didn't have a. You know, I bet you he averages after this game 200 yards a game or less. That's what he is.
200 or less.
That's what he is. So he gets every week. That's his stats. That's his stat line. 220. You know, hey, listen. Look at his career stats. I mean, that's what he does. Guys always revert back to. I mean, he's been in the league long enough. He'll revert back to his form. And one of the things that they had, first of all, they were forced to throw because they were way behind. which is great. And so we'll see. Listen, that was one of the big concerns this year with Blake Bortles from Jacksonville. You know, do you take him or do you not take him? Because is his stats artificially inflated because they were always chasing from behind? Or is he really that good? But good.
Right. And another young quarterback who I thought, you know, didn't play amazing, but I thought looked pretty good also was Dak Prescott of the Cowboys. I know the Cowboys lost this game 20-19, but, you know, I thought Prescott for, you know, being a guy selected in the, I think it was third or fourth round, not highly touted. I mean, wasn't really expected to do anything in this league. You know, said be a backup. And when Tony Romo went down, there was a lot of talk, you know, he was going to be the next guy. A lot of people liked what they'd seen. And I got to see him for the first time this past Sunday, and I was very impressed. I mean, him and Ezekiel Elliott looked like they could be a dynamic duo for a long time over there. And, you know, a lot of short throws, a lot of getting used to the game. But Dak Prescott, I mean, to me, he looked like, you know, kind of reminded me a little of Jameis Winston. I mean, just a leader out there who's willing to do anything to get the job done. And, you know, I know they came up a little short, but I think the Cowboys have a winner in Dak Prescott.
I actually agree. I think he had a very good game, and I think that I underestimated Ezekiel Elliott. I think he's much better than I thought he was, too. I think that I got a feeling that if he can get this ship righted, Tony Romo's career might be over because he's already – listen, they'd like to they don't want to replace him because he's good, but at the end of the day, he's just such an injury risk now. I mean, for the last 5 years, he can't stay on the field. I could see Prescott being the guy now. I mean, he's looked really good, and hopefully it wasn't a one-game wonder. I mean, I'm all for him. I thought he looked great. I like his courage. I like his attitude, and I always like guys that, you know, take charge and show some true leadership skills, and I think he did.
Right, and, you know, the last guy I want to talk about, another young quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, goes into Arizona in his first game of the season, and they beat the Cardinals. I mean, I still am on the Cardinals bandwagon. I still think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but this was very impressive by the Patriots. You know, Tom Brady, no Tom Brady, they still win games. And you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, 260 yards and a touchdown. He did his job. You know, didn't turn the ball over. He had one fumble, but no picks. Looked pretty good. And for the first four games, I think if the Pats came out 2-2, they were going to be pretty happy. I mean, this was a huge win against this Arizona team. You know, Carson Palmer looked pretty good. I mean, Fitz, Father Time also doesn't exist with him. He had a couple touchdowns, but I mean, looking back at week one, I think, you know, young quarterbacks was the storyline because, you know, he talked about three of them right there, and they all fared pretty well, in my opinion.
No, I agree, I think that, you know, Garoppolo is not so young, but he's certainly being groomed. He will be the starting quarterback, and that just goes to show you what a great coach Bill Belichick is. You can say what you want, but there's a guy that every year he somehow puts the pieces together, and he's going to get out of this without Tom Brady, 3-1 maybe, 2-2, 3-1, or maybe even 4-0. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Right, and I think my biggest disappointment from week one, besides the Rams, because that was even further down the chart than a disappointment, was the Indianapolis Colts dropped a game to the Lions 39-35. It was underwhelming, you know, for a Colts team that I thought a few years ago when Bruce Arians took over midseason, they made the playoffs. You know, I thought they were headed for bigger and better things, but, you know, it turns out, you know, some injury problems to Andrew Luck and whatnot, but I don't think this team is very good. And I think they're going to have a tough time, you know, winning the AFC South this year.
I think you said the magic words, Bruce Arians. I think that we're finding out that Pagano, as much as the guys played for him and like him, we're finding out that Arians was always the brains behind that guy. Because if you just look at the record with Arians, without Arians, look what's going on, and look what Arians is doing now in St. Louis or in Arizona. Okay, with a team that was never very good, and now all of a sudden they're up there every year now.
Right, and I think that's unfortunate for the Colts. I mean, Andrew Luck, I can put him in, you know, top. Definitely top five, maybe top three quarterbacks.
He might have gotten crunched again. But, yeah, listen, he put up 35. It just wasn't enough. And that's the problem with their team. It's always a problem with their team since he's been there. Is they haven't. Listen, this goes back 20 years. They didn't have a defense for Peyton Manning either. That's always the problem. But we got to get some selections in here for this weekend. What do you got, big boy?
Yes, we do. The first game I'm looking at is Kansas City at Houston. I really like Houston as a two-point favorite in this game. My main thing is, the Chiefs are going into this game without their top two guards, and I think against a defensive line, you know, that Houston has, you know, you got Clowney, Wilfork, J.J. Watt, I think the Chiefs are going to have a very tough time moving the ball. You know, you play without your starting guards. I mean, that really hurts the running game. And I know Jamal Charles isn't even playing. Spencer Ware played very well last week. They also had Sir Kendrick West. But I think they're going to have a tough time, you know, winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. And I don't even know if Houston's going to play that great on offense, but I don't think they're going to have to. I think the Chiefs are going to be struggling to find points this week.
I would agree with that. I like the Texans. I think and I think that they got problems. And you know, I mean, they're a nice team, and Andy Reid's a great coach. But to Kansas City, I don't have enough athletes for this game now, I don't think. You know, again, they're not playing the San Diego Chargers this time. So I'm going to agree with you. Who else you like?
I'm also looking at Sunday night game, Packers at Minnesota.
That's my best bet. I hope we're on the same side.
Who you got?
Go ahead.
I think we're on the opposite side because I have the Packers.
Yeah, we are definitely on the opposite side. I think Minnesota gives them a drill job here. I think Aaron Rodgers has been very average over the last year and a half. I think if you go back and you look at his stats, he's a very average quarterback all of a sudden. I mean, I like him. He's a fighter. But if you go back and look at him, look at all his statistics, he's been a very, very average guy. So we'll pass.
Yeah, it was very average last year, but he did get his number one weapon back, and I think that's going to be a big factor in this.
We'll see. All right, we got time for one more. You got anybody else you like?
I didn't really love anybody. I was thinking about taking my Bears 3-point favorite at home on Monday night against the Eagles, but they scared me.
The Bears suck.
I mean, the Bears looked atrocious.
Well, my best bet of the year is the New York Jets. Oh, that was on Thursday. Jeez, I can't take it. No, just kidding. I do like, I no big play, but I also like, I believe it or not, I like the Cleveland Browns a little bit against Baltimore. But, you know, it is nothing great here. Nothing really steps out of me except for the two games that we talked about.
And also, Bengals Steelers should be a pretty good game.
That should be a good game. It's always a tight game, and it's always funny. It's 3 and a hook, I think. And, of course, the hook will probably come into play. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out of a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show as well as the Bubba Show. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba will be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And Xander, the Cubbies clinched on a loss, but they did win the division. And I mean, obviously, no surprise. Now it's how do they get themselves set up to make the run? And you know, obviously, everybody thinks they're going to go. They're going to be the favorite to win it all. The question is, whether they will or not? And we know it takes a little bit of luck, but certainly everything is set up very nicely for them. And certainly, when you're looking at Arrieta as your possible number three pitcher, you're in pretty good shape. What do you think?
I mean, you're in fantastic shape. I mean, it was awesome. You know, Thursday was a great day for Cubs Nation with the first team in the majors to clinch a playoff spot. Didn't happen the way we wanted. Lost the Brewers, but I mean, you know, still popped a bottle of champagne after the Cardinals lost. And that's a great point that you made. You know, Arrieta possibly being your number three pitcher. You know, if you were to tell me that, you know, last year after seeing his season, I'd have said that you're crazy. But, you know, Kyle Hendricks, I would have to say, is probably my Cy Young right now in the NL. I mean, you know, the guy's ERA is almost under 2, and he's just been so great the entire season. I thought, you know, he started off really good, and you thought maybe, you know, dip off a little bit. But the guy has just been so solid the entire year. A major reason why I think the Cubs are doing as good as they have been.
Oh no, he's the ERA leader. How can you take that away from him? I mean, he's unbelievable. He's been phenomenal. What did you think about? We go back and Dave Roberts pulls Rich Hill out of a perfect game after 7. Okay, and then Kershaw pitches on Wednesday. You know, with his bad back, he's got a perfect game, and he goes. The game gets delayed twice, and yet he brings him back out after he's been nursing this back injury because they say he threw underneath. But what'd you think about that?
Yeah, it was kind of a head scratcher for me. I mean, I understood the Rich Hill thing. You know, perfect game. It kind of puts you in baseball immortality. But I mean, on a day by day basis, you know, clubs trying to win games, and you figure that you know they do stuff for a reason. They're not just pulling them out. But yeah, the Kershaw thing kind of puzzled me. I mean, you don't see that too often, guys coming back from delays. It's just not good. You know, you warm up, you cool down, you warm up. It's not good for the body, especially for a guy, you know, who's been injured for a long time. I mean, that's a good 3 months of the season. I didn't really get that, but, I mean, I'm not going to mess with Dave Roberts now. I mean, he's got this Dodger team firing on all cylinders, and you know, the Giants are on the verge of one of the biggest collapses in the history of baseball.
The Cubs on that one. Don't worry about it. the 69 Cubs, and they lost to the amazing Mets. But yeah, the Giants are. It's sad. I mean, the other night they had a 4-1 lead going to the ninth inning, and they split it up to San Diego. I mean, it's sad to watch this team go by the wayside, because you know it is the even year, but you got to give the Dodgers all the credit in the world. They really just, it's amazing. The Giants had, Kershaw goes down, the Giants get the best record in baseball. And now, did you know that the Giants have the worst record in baseball since the break?
I did know that. 20, I think it was like 20 and 35, something like that. It's brutal, after having the best record after the first half.
All right.
It's crazy how far they've fallen. But you know, speaking of the Mets, Jacob DeGrom is coming back tomorrow. Lucas Duda is finally coming off the DL. The Mets are tied at the top of the wild card in the National League with the Giants. St. Louis is a game back. This Mets team, I've counted them out. I said they were done, but you know, I think I got to switch my tune a little bit. Jacob DeGrom's coming back. You know, the ace of the staff right now, I would say. I think they're
going to
make it.
They very well could make it. I just hope they don't play the Cubs, because they got like the whammy on the Cubs, and you know, obviously the matchup just doesn't favor the Cubs. But I have Jacob DeGrom, which isn't going to help me much at this stage of the game. But at the end of the day, you know, I like the way that Terry Collins, and I don't particularly care for him as a manager, but I like the way he held this team together. And you know, I think that that's a good race. I think St. Louis is showing their true colors, are kind of falling apart. And of course, Pittsburgh just totally collapsed, which it makes sense. I mean, they traded up everybody anyways. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at that. But I think that the number one race is still the one you called a long time ago, and that's the the American League East. I mean, they're still fighting like dogs in that division.
They're still fighting, and Baltimore's still, you know, right there, neck and neck. They're two games back of Boston right now. I mean, you know, I've counted them out the whole season. I mean, I just might as well keep doing it. It doesn't really matter. They haven't been listening to me. But how about Boston the other night? Hanley Ramirez hits a walk-off homer off Dellin Betances. Signature win. Best win of the season, I think, for the Red Sox. I mean, the Yankees are creeping up in the division in the wild card. And Hanley comes up there and knocks a three-run homer down two runs off their closer. Magical moment in Boston. It was awesome to see. I'm a big fan of Hanley Ramirez. Finally finding his way, you know, as a first baseman for the Red Sox now. And that was a sight to see. And I think that's going to be a catalyst that brings Boston into the postseason.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to get there anyways. I think it's going to be, if I were to predict it right now, it's going to be Boston against the Cubs in a World Series.
You know what? That would be a lot of money to attend that game.
It'd be unbelievable, but it's like Big Poppy. I mean, he's a real big ambassador of the game. In the last 20 years, he's had some of the biggest moments in the biggest games. His last year, the Cubs, who haven't been there for 100 years, and you know, and Boston, Chicago. I mean, it would just be, those tickets would be going probably for, the good tickets probably going for $5,000 to see or more. I mean, it'd be unbelievable. I think that we see it, but I think you know, I think Cleveland is limping here now. I don't know what the hell's going on with them. They're just lucky that Detroit can't do anything.
Right. I mean, the AL Central has been very underwhelming, I think, the past couple months. You know, Cleveland, I think their playoff chances take a big hit with the Danny Salazar injury. I mean, you know, you could say Corey Kluber's the ace of that staff, but I think, you know, just as important, Danny Salazar, when he's clicking, when he was pitching his best, this team was really rolling. I think it's going to hurt without him. I mean, Carlos Carrasco, Corey Kluber, Tomlin, very good staff, but I think they're gonna be hurting without Salazar. He had some great stuff.
I agree. I think that the other guy that's really hurting him right now is Bauer. I mean, Bauer was having a nice season. All of a sudden, he's like, he can't find his way. And we've got a pretty interesting wild card race, though, in the American League. I mean, Texas obviously is going to win the pennant, but you know, all of a sudden, Houston, without anybody, is coming back from the dead again. And of course, Seattle, they go through a big winning streak. Now they're losing. Now they're winning.
They won. They're 9-1 in their last 10. You know, they dropped off the map, and here they are, you know, with this huge win streak. And you know, so we've got a lot of teams in this race. I think we got about 8 teams are within 4 games. I'm looking right now: Houston, New York, Seattle, Detroit, Toronto, and Baltimore. You know, what do you think of, where do you see? Who are the top two teams that come out right now? We got about 15 games left. I've got my eye on a couple. Who do you think?
Well, I think Boston is in. I think Boston gets in and Toronto gets in. And so I think Detroit is a
Well, I'm saying in the wild card.
That's what I'm saying. I think either Boston or Toronto, one was the wild card, one was the division. I don't think Detroit gets there. I think the other one is either going to be Seattle or Houston, and the way it's going now, I think it's Seattle. All of a sudden, Taiwan Walker found his stroke after taking me down to the toilet. He finally found out how to pitch, and he's been unbelievable the last few games. And Paxton, the lefty's been unbelievable all of a sudden. So, and you throw in Hernandez and Iwakuma, and all of a sudden you got a staff.
Right, and then you got, you know, Cano, Cruz, and Seager in the middle of the order. So, I mean, you know, it's a team. If you get into the big dance, you never know what can happen. I mean, New York Giants in the NFL. You know, they won two Super Bowls, and they limped in, you know, as what people thought was not that great of a team. And, you know, you get on a hot streak, and you end up hoisting that trophy. It doesn't really matter how good people thought you were.
Well,
so, I mean, this Seattle team is a little scary to me.
I got to say one thing, okay? This ain't football, okay? This ain't a one and done. This is, you got to go out and win. And in baseball, the best pitching wins. Now, the team may not always not be favorite, but you can go back and look at all the big bopper teams versus the team that can pitch, and the team that can pitch and play defense typically win, because the big run machines don't typically take off here because they get shut down because they're facing the number one pitchers, and there is no more of those soft and easy blow-up games, and guys are coming at you. So we'll see how it plays out, and it's been a slice. We've got another exciting weekend. Great football games today. Florida State and Ohio State, Oklahoma, and that's going to be sick. And we got tomorrow some good stuff. So we'll be back next weekend. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the week, the football. Enjoy the games. And this is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll see you back here next week. Same time, same station. The Sporting Edge. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.